Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sonic Reformation. Once again, my name is Jeff Sanders. Along with me is the mighty Brett Watson. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. You?
I'm doing good.
Good, good.
So today we are going to discuss abortion.
Yeah, yeah.
Touchy subject.
It really is. And it's one of those things that we kind of touched on a little bit in the last episode. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think you nailed it when you said touchy. Of course, we don't have a large church. Yet, even in small churches, abortions still happen. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things to where you sit down with someone who has had an abortion and someone who is a believer, and you see the distress that it causes. And this is even years after it, after the abortion took place. And then I don't think that's just with believers. I think that still happens for the folks who do not believe. But when you murder a human, it's something that's going to stick with you whether you're a believer or not. Now, when it comes to being a believer, the comfort that they have over the non-believer is knowing that they have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said this last time, even the believer may not be able to forgive themselves for that abortion. That doesn't matter. What matters is that God has forgiven them for murdering, one of his children. So,
mm-hmm.
And it is. It's extremely touchy. We also played a little clip of Carl Lentz punking out on The View when asked about that question. And, he pretty much just dodged it and said that, God's the judge. But your job as a pastor is to preach God's word. And for him to say, that he would, you got to find out. I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. Like, he would sit down and talk with the person and, find out where they've come from, where they've been. And you know what? You're a sinner that just murdered a child, a baby. It doesn't matter where they've come from or where they've been. They need to hear the truth. Now, you love that person. You care for that person. But that person needs to hear the truth in what they've done. And again, if they're already a believer, it's something that they've already been forgiven for. But if they're not a believer, and we need to present that truth to them, that if they do not believe in Christ and what it was that he did that day on the cross and paying our sin debt in full, then they're going to have to answer for murdering that baby.
Absolutely. And right off the bat, you're talking about murder. Let's look at the sixth commandment.
Yep.
You shall not murder. Now, looking at that, you see all these Planned Parenthood people and everything out protesting, supporting abortion clinics, mm-hmm. Claiming that it is not murder, that it is nothing but a blob of cells, yep, when the child is aborted, mm-hmm, which has been totally debunked. Scientifically, it has been proven that as soon as conception between the sperm and the egg happen, that it is becoming a human being. Not after so many trimesters or so many weeks or anything like that. It is a human life from conception. So, you know, and you can go in to YouTube and watch the graphic videos of abortion. I don't recommend it. Once you see it, you never forget it. But, you know, they talk about how it's just a blob of cells, like a big snot or something like that. If you watch these videos or research on the pictures of aborted babies, they're ripping these infants apart, taking it out of the woman, and then they put it on a plate, or not a plate, but like the surgical table next to the woman, and they piece it back together, the arms and the legs, the head. So, you know, there's so many angles of argument regarding abortion. But once you boil down to the scripture, it is murder. Once you've done that, you cannot take it back. Now, a woman can be forgiven and she can repent for doing this. I'm not saying that you can't take it back in the sense of you cannot seek forgiveness from God.
Right.
But you, that will never leave you. And it amazes me that the world is in the situation that it is with abortion, and the fact of people claim that it is not murder. And to me, the true argument of it is they claim it's not murder because a woman has a choice.
Right.
Yet you had a choice to have sex or not have sex. Yep. You had a choice that when you had intercourse to wear protection or be on birth control, to take action from preventing pregnancy. Yep. You chose not to do that.
Yep.
Now you have another life.
Yep.
You don't have the choice to, well, you do have the choice to kill that child, but it's not even a moral thing. It's a scripture-based thing, and it's murder.
Yep. And I think that's, I think where you're going is exactly in the right direction, in the sense of, you know, how it is that Christians view this, and really how the world should view it at, is murder. The problem is, though, is the secular worldview. They do not see that that fetus, that embryo, as a human. They've, like you said, have turned it into pretty much nothing more than snot. So from a worldview, that's how they're seeing it. But from a biblical perspective, you know, we have scripture verses that point us to the moment that it takes place, you know, the sperm and the egg, that's a human. And, mm-hmm. and so we're coming at it differently. And I understand that. But truth, because everything that we look at as Christians, it should be coming through from a biblical worldview, not a secular worldview, a biblical worldview. And, you know, we have, you just read the sixth commandment.
Yes.
And, you know, and then we, and this is the reason why when we talk about abortion, we say murder, because that's what it is. It is the killing of another human. And when we look at the scripture and it talks about the unborn, it's referring to them as a person. In Psalm 51:5, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So we're seeing that the unborn, you know, have personal attributes. And then in Luke 1:44, it says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." And not only does it speak that way of the unborn, but it also speaks of them in a personal sense. So we have their attributes, And then we actually have the pronouns that are personal. And if you look at Jeremiah 1:5, which I stated last time, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. And he continues, and then in Matthew 1:20-21, it states, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And when it looks, when we look at the conception of the Savior of Christ in Matthew 1:20, it says, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Exactly what I just said, exactly what I just read. And it's referring to Jesus as a baby, the child who has been conceived. So, you know, that's the reason why we use murder, because from a biblical worldview, from the moment, again, like what we said earlier, that you know, conception happens, those are human beings. Now, here's what is so strange about the secular viewpoint is you can kill a child or a baby at different stages depending on what state you live in. However, if a, let's see here, what's the, there's a law in the U.S., the Unborn Victims of Violence Act of 2004, and it's the United States law recognizes an embryo or fetus in utero as a legal victim. If they are injured or killed during the commission of any of over 60 listed federal crimes of violence, the law defines child in utero as a member of the species, Homo sapiens, at any stage of development, who is carried in the womb. Mm. So we have that law. So if a mother who's carrying her baby is murdered or physically injured in some way that ends up killing that child, then that person is charged for the murdering of the baby. Mm-hmm. However, this is the same view that the world takes when something like that happens. Yet when it's out of inconvenience for the mother, then she has the right to kill that child. So what we're seeing in a secular worldview is the inconsistencies that take place. And again, this is where the truth lies on the biblical perspective from the Bible. The truth is on the Bible side. The truth is on the believer's side because it's consistent when it speaks of, well, everything, even though some folks will talk about contradictions, but we can talk about that some other time. But when we're talking about this topic of abortions, I mean, it's from the very beginning that the baby has personal attributes and they're referred to in personal pronouns in the scripture.
Mm-hmm. And one thing too, a lot of activists that are pro-choice and all out there saluting Planned Parenthood, they refer to the babies as fetus.
Yep.
Which, from my understanding, isn't that the Greek for infant?
Excuse me, 1 second. Sorry. Hang on, let me pull this up.
I may be incorrect on that, but but I mean, you know, the whole thing is, you know, you have such an argument going on of, well, what is an acceptable, how is it acceptable to have an abortion? You know, what constitutes it? Well, you know, it doesn't. The baby is dependent on the mother to live. And then the other side would say to that, well, okay, what about somebody that is in a coma that is dependent on a machine to keep them alive? You know, are they not worthy of life? Yep. Should we pull the plug?
Yep.
You know, well, no, you know, that's morally wrong. Okay. So if it's morally wrong to kill somebody that is dependent on a machine, then how is it not murder when you abort a child? Because the mother is the machine keeping the child alive. You know, that is why God created man and woman, was for the woman to carry the child.
Yeah, fetus is, that's the Latin.
Latin.
Yep. So one of the things.
Sorry.
No. What's interesting about that, and the example that you gave, it's a perfect example. But even if you look at a child that's, say, you know, 9 months or 10 months and a day old, well, it still needs the mother.
Yeah.
So why could you not kill that baby outside of the womb if that's your standard that you're going by?
Exactly.
And here's something else that, you know, I talk about the inconsistencies of the worldview perspective and the law that they passed, where if a woman who is expecting is injured and the baby is killed, then that person can be charged for that baby. And really, this actually lines up with Scripture, because in Exodus 21:22-23, the law is stating, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and she shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury, then... Sorry, Ma. Computer just died on me there. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. So in the Old Testament...
Where's the standard?
Yeah. Now, in the Old Testament, and this is, you know, in verse 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, which, you know, we're not under that now, but even in the Old Testament, they considered that child who was born prematurely and is okay, then a fine would be given. But if that child was killed, then that man who caused that to take place would be killed.
Yeah.
So again, we see the consistency of a biblical worldview and the inconsistency of, you know, a secular worldview when it comes to the baby, in the sense that you can, depending on what state you live in, you can kill that child within the womb, or, you know, then there was the whole partial abortion thing, which is just horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, technically, or all the way throughout Scripture, it's consistent, and that if something happens to a baby intentionally to where you are trying to harm or kill it, then that's murder. That's on you. So,
and I think the activist side of it would, and when I speak of the activist side, I'm talking about the pro-choice.
Right.
I don't believe in pro-choice, pro-life. I don't believe in any of that. I believe in Scripture. I believe in God's word. Thou shalt not murder. Period. You know, if you take a life, it is murder.
Yep.
And it's crazy how the different standards are set on different levels of acceptance on abortion and everything. You know, it's like, you know, what if a woman finds out 6 months into her pregnancy that her child is going to be born with some kind of mental retardation, and I'm not putting people with Downs in the same category as mental retardation.
Right.
But let's say the child's going to have Down syndrome, and you're 6 months pregnant.
Yep.
Is it okay to, well, just kill it? You know, I mean, it's going to have issues in life. It's going to be hard. It's going to be financially strainful on the family. We can solve that problem. Let's just kill it.
Yeah, and you know, that's what's so scary is I'd say that there's been a lot of folks over the years that have been told by their their doctor, you know, to go ahead and kill that child because of the life that it's going to have, the struggles. You're right. The amount of money it's going to cost to keep that child up. And yet at the same time, this is where probably we as folks who believe in Reformed theology can say that that's God's sovereignty at work. Mm-hmm. That there's a reason that child was given to you with Downs. And just because it doesn't turn out the way that you think it should, this is God.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that did this. God is the one that, when I say did this, God is the one that gave this child to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for you to play God and to eliminate this gift because it's not going to turn out the way that you think that it should have, that's
yeah.
Again, it just takes us back to the point where man looks so highly upon themselves and reduces God, you know, to being below them.
Mm-hmm. And just a side note, I would much rather hang out with somebody that has Downs over a lot of people that are considered normal in this life, because that's I'll say this, I've never met someone with Downs that has any hate in their heart, buddy.
Right.
They want to hug you, talk. Excuse me. You know, they it's like they don't have the negative.
Yeah, it's almost
capacity.
Like
capacity. Yeah, it's like their life is joy.
Yep.
You know, and you know, like I read a while back that there was a local food establishment here in Chattanooga where the father owned the business, passed away, and one of his sons has Downs. And pretty much like worked in the restaurant all the time.
Yep.
And so when his father passed away, he went down there and ran it.
Wow.
And kept it going, and it is going today.
Yep.
You know, I won't name any names. You know, I'll keep it open-ended, anonymous, or whatever. But, you know, it's just kind of pointing out that people that have disabilities are not, like, useless. Right. I mean, they are the way they are because God ordained them to be that way.
Yep.
There is a reason for it.
Yep.
And, you know, it amazes me at the excuses that people use to justify killing a child.
Yeah, over convenience. And, you know, one of the things that folks will always go to is that rare extreme example to where, you know, the mother may be endangered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a very small percentage, but that's the one that they go to when you talk about, you know, don't let me speak for you, but I think that both of us agree that, you know, abortion should be illegal.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what I figured. But so what we would have are certain, or the pro-choice folks, the Planned Parenthood people, would come out in an uproar talking about, well, what about the woman's or the mother's life that is being endangered by this child? I mean, this, again, it's normally very rare. So you're mm-hmm. taking a very small percentage of when something like this occurs, and you're comparing it to the mass number of folks killing babies out of convenience
mm-hmm.
or inconvenience. So that's that doesn't hold water. And again, it comes down to, and this is extremely difficult. You know, if it comes down to you and your wife are expecting, and you get the news that the child could quite possibly during birth kill your wife, and so for for some folks, you know, they would go ahead and terminate the child then. And I know this would be an extremely difficult situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things to where at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, if both parents believe in the sovereignty of God, then this is going to be one of those things that they go through together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not see that as being a reason for, you know, killing the baby either.
No, and on that subject, it all goes back to God ordaining. I mean, this is God's will. If the mother is going to die during childbirth, that is part of God's plan. You know, if the mother lives and the child dies, that is ordained by God.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, if I was married and my wife and I were expecting, you know, and 2 weeks before birth, the doctor comes in and tells us, well, okay, you might not live through the birth of your child. We need to abort. I'm not saying that that thought wouldn't go through my mind. Oh, like,
absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
My wife will get to live. Okay, take the child.
Yeah.
But biblically, you would need to sit down and have that conversation. Like, do we want to kill?
Yep.
You know, we are conspiring.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
To commit murder.
Yeah.
You know, if the woman dies during childbirth, that was God's plan. You took the chance to survive through pregnancy, and you didn't.
Yep.
Now, I can see the other side of it very easily. You know, this is my wife, the love of my life, the person that I want to be sitting next to until my end of day.
Right.
You know, but that's also my child.
Yep.
Our child.
Yep.
You know, as bad as it sucks to say, you're going to kill that child. That's murder.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and you can justify it in saying that you're saving, you know, your wife's life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you do not know the outcome. It very well could be that you go through the process and you have a healthy baby and a healthy wife at the end.
Yeah.
So I've heard some folks give the argument, especially when you say, if the mother dies, if the love of your life ends up dying, and you said it's God's will. I've heard some people even say, well, what happens, you know, if you're diagnosed with cancer? Do you not do anything because that's God's will? And, you know, death is coming for you. Do you not worry about taking treatment to prevent that? And that argument, it doesn't hold water because, one, by you doing something to treat the cancer, you're not killing another person.
Mm-mm.
So when I hear that argument, you can go ahead and just move that aside, because what we're talking about is for one thing to happen, then a child must be killed.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to if the child is born, the mother may die.
Yeah.
But you're not guaranteed death just because the doctor says that when it pertains to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where I know it would be extremely difficult to be going through. But at the end of the day, from a biblical perspective, that baby is a human. And you're killing a child, killing that baby, when you really do not know the outcome. Like I said, both of them could end up being healthy and fine.
Right.
So, you know, and I have so much respect for doctors. The things that they're able to do, it's absolutely amazing. God has given them that brain to do that and given them the ability to do that, but they are not God. They do not know the outcome.
Right.
So, and, you know, so from this point then, what some folks would end up saying is, well, what about the babies that are aborted? What happens to them? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? How do you know if they're elect or not? If, I mean, since we are Calvinists within this Reformed faith or Reformed Christian faith here, this is a question that's extremely difficult because the Bible doesn't give us a lot on that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it there's no real answer.
Yeah.
The only thing that we have is when David loses his son, when the child had just been born, loses that child, and he calls out that he will see his son again.
Yeah.
And so some folks can take that and say, well, that's what that means, that if a baby dies during birth or within the womb, then they're automatically in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that for sure. That's what I want to believe.
Yeah.
I can't say it for sure, but what I can base, the way that I can do this and laying my head down at night, regardless of what that answer is, I know that God is holy, righteous, and loving. So, and sovereign. So my faith is in him, and what he decides, so be it.
And it's to the glory of God.
Yeah, it is. So it is one of those things where I wish I could tell, you know, a mother who just lost their child during pregnancy or at a very young age, you know, that you're going to see that child again someday. I, at this point and where I am, I don't know if I can say that and it be truthful. But I can say that, you know, we serve a wonderful, holy, loving God, a righteous God. So we put our faith in him.
Absolutely.
And that's, again, it's an extremely touchy subject, an extremely difficult subject. But one of the things that I think probably needs to happen is in this word abortion, and when we're talking about it, I don't think it's necessarily wrong when we speak of abortion, as in speaking of killing a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now some people will say that's a bit too harsh, but that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're killing a child.
Yeah,
baby.
Absolutely. Now, let me play the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
A lot of stuff that I've watched and read about with abortion and the controversy going back and forth, pro-life, pro-choice, all this, is a lot of the Planned Parenthood advocates. I'm not saying all of them, but a group of these people that I've seen researching and everything believe in evolution.
Yep.
So you've got the side of it of, you know, we were once fish and now we've evolved into man. And, you know, the argument would be, well, if there's no God and we're stardust, you know, we come from tadpoles to fish to humans, then what does it matter?
Right.
You know, and that can still be argued even on the side of Christianity when you say, well, you know, we were evolved from fish. Well, then why are you out here fighting for this woman to be able to kill a child? You know, she means nothing. The mother means nothing.
Yep.
We all mean nothing.
Right.
You know, when we die, see ya.
Yeah.
That's it.
Back to stardust.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're out here because of moral issues, but at the same time, you believe that we were fish.
Yeah. So why are you even out here fighting for moral issues? Why are you not taking what you want from your neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's an issue there. Where do morals come from? Because if we have somewhat evolved, then why don't we see this in the animal kingdom?
Yeah.
Of course, and then they'll say, because we've evolved from that.
So we were once lions and monkeys. Yeah. And
but there is no type of you know, moral understanding when it comes to the animal kingdom. If a lion wants something, meat, it'll, you know, go chase down a gazelle or an elk or whatever and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trial. I mean, there's no sign of repentance. That's its nature.
Yeah.
But as humans, here we are, moral beings. So we got to go back to the issue of, where did morals come from?
Right.
And now, this is where, from the Christian perspective, even now, this is what upsets me, because from the Christian worldview, we can go back and say, well, consistent Christians can, sound Christians can go back and say there wasn't evolution, because we have the story of the garden. We understand where man came from. Man came from dust that God created. God mm-hmm. created man, and then from him, he took a rib and created Eve. Mm-hmm. So there was no evolution for mankind. You know, we didn't start out as an ooze.
Yeah.
Nothing did. Everything was spoken to existence.
Right.
And then we even have already the animals that we supposedly evolved from in the garden that God created, because he talks about the different days and how he separated everything. And then he gives the responsibility to Adam to name those animals. So the animals were not born. They were already in existence as mature creatures, the same way Adam was when he was created as a mature creature, a human being. You know, he may have been, we don't know how old he was, but I'm sure he looked like, you know, he's probably in his 30s. So that's another thing that's always kind of got me, is what came first, the chicken or the egg? And it's like, well, that's a stupid question from a biblical perspective, because it was the chicken. I mean, you know, birds were in flight when they were created. So
right.
It wasn't like, you're not sure. No, no. See, that's where some of these philosophical questions are asked. But we have the scripture, and we believe the scripture to be true. And so that's how we can go about it. And we have to be consistent within the word. So that's why even theistic evolutionists who claim to be Christians but believe in evolution, that God used evolution for us to get to be where we are today, then you would have to negate Genesis as being some type of allegorical story, or, you know, something that it isn't, when it's to be taken literally.
Right.
So, yeah.
So wait, on that note, let's go back to the evolution. Why are there still monkeys? If we have evolved from fish all the way through the chain of command to humans, you know, why are we not seeing evolution with current apes and things of that nature? I mean, why all of a sudden did it stop?
Yeah.
Oh, because we can procreate now?
Yeah.
You know, well, so could chimpanzees.
Yeah.
So could fish.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's Darwin's theory has a missing link in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not true.
Right.
And that you know, when we're talking about this, you know, that's considered the macro evolution aspect of it. But there is a huge issue with that. One, again, it's not been proven. It's still off, you know, guesses, and when a guess after a period of time you can't find all the evidence for it, it should be put down, it should be killed. But it's not, because again, we live in this world that despises God, and that's what we're told. Romans 3, no one's righteous, no one, no, not one, no one seeks him. So that's why this whole understanding of evolution is growing to the point of where it is today, because of this world that hates God. So it's going to do anything and everything that it can to discredit the truth, which again is why, you know, I believe that God is sovereign and that he must regenerate our heart before we can even come to believe the truth.
Right.
So,
absolutely. Now, but what about the Big Bang Theory? I mean,
And there's some folks that can, that will go in and say that, you know, God used the Big Bang to bring the world into existence. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. My issue, I'm a young Earth person, so a lot of folks will go ahead and laugh at me because I believe that the world is only between 6 and 10,000 years old. And the reason why I believe that is, you know, if you take the time of Christ and you work all the way back through his genealogy to Adam, and you look at how old the folks lived during that time and certain math, and it'll put you in between 6 to 10,000 years old. Because certain names have been left out, yet for the most part, you still have enough evidence of the folks that lived from Adam all the way up to Christ. And so, again, that'll give you roughly 6 to 10,000 years. Now, what some folks will come out and say is, well, you know, they've done all these studies. They look at the age of the Earth by all this scientific evidence that they have. And, you know, I can simply say, and I'm not very smart when it comes to this. I'm not very smart, period. But when it comes down to it, look, I believe in the Word of God. And when Adam was brought into existence as a mature man, and then all the animals were brought into existence as mature animals, I believe that the world was brought into existence as a mature world, you know, to where it may take hundreds of years for, you know, certain trees to become fully developed, and years upon years of trees to become fully developed, and yet when the Earth was created, there they were. You know, it was done. These trees were in mature form, along with the animals were in mature form, along with Adam and Eve in mature form. So of course, if your scientific evidence lines up properly, you're going to get what would seem to be an older Earth than what it actually is, because it's in its mature state from the beginning.
Right.
And you know, the thing with the big bang, I mean, without God, logically, it doesn't make any sense, because you cannot create something out of nothing. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can talk about all the scientific theories that you want, but at the end of the day, you can put nothing in a box, and it has to be a vacuum sealed box, and nothing's going to be there in 1,000 years.
Right.
Let's go a step further. I mean, the odds of the structure in which our very molecules and DNA are put together are absolutely amazing, and is done in such an order that it's mind-boggling. So you're saying that from nothing an explosion occurs, eventually leads to us with such a structure of evidence that leads to one having to believe that we had to be created because of all the intricacies, you know, that make us up. And you just kind of look at that. It's like if you have some gentleman living in some far off land that has never been introduced to technology. And he's walking along a beach, and there's a watch lying there. You know, and he picks up the watch, and he sees all these moving parts, and it works. He's going to look at it, and he's going to start looking around for who made this watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, the intelligentsia of the scientific community want to tell us that this is just an accident.
Right.
And look, we're far more complex than a watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this man who's never been introduced to technology is going to be looking around for where this watch came from. It's not just going to fall out of the sky. And he knows that, you know, a couple of molecules aren't going to run into each other and develop this watch. We can even go a step further. Let's say this man has all the parts to put the watch together. So we're already jumping away from, you know, something coming from nothing. So we have this watch, and it's not together, but all the parts are there. And we throw it in a box, and we tell this guy to continuously shake this thing up until all the parts come together
mm-hmm.
in its proper working form.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But why not?
Exactly. Why not? Because it's impossible. Yet what we have been fed is that, yes, there's this Big Bang that took place. It has something to do with thermodynamics and all these other wonderful scientific words, that something was created out of nothing. And yet at the end of the day, you could take a 7 or 8 year old kid and you say, I've got nothing in this hand, I've got nothing in this hand. What's going to be there when I open up my hands? Nothing.
Right.
So again, what it comes back down to is man, in their fallen state, rebels against God, hate God, will do anything to try to disprove that there is a God, even though what they come up with is the most far-fetched scenarios, yet the world, being haters of God also, will believe in that scenario more so than they will the book that has been given to us that is factually consistent, historically accurate, and you can find evidence upon evidence when it comes to ruins and archaeological digs that prove that the scripture is true. But because man's heart is dead, they'll continuously disbelieve it.
Right. Now, back on abortion for a minute. One of the subjects that's always brought up is a woman being raped.
Yep.
Well, shouldn't the woman have the right for that child to be born or not because she was raped? She didn't plan that.
Yeah.
God did.
Again, yes, this happens. A very emotional topic. But at the end of the day, that's a child. That's a baby in the womb. That is a human life. Now, if the mother of that baby at the end, you know, let's say she has the child, she does the right thing, and if that child is going to be a constant reminder of what took place, and I'm not saying this is what should happen, but there are so many people out there that would be willing or are trying to adopt because they themselves can't have children, or, you know, they just want more children in the home that they can raise and bring up. That's the option. Killing that baby is not the option.
Right.
You know, if you want to give it over to some folks that, you know, can take care of it, that's the option that woman has, and how horrendous that would be. So don't think that act that she had to go through, I'm just kind of glossing over and saying,
oh, absolutely.
No, not a big deal. You know,
she'll live.
Right. Yeah. All is well. That's not what I'm saying. But because that took place, that horrible event from that horrible person that would do such a thing, doesn't mean that she needs to turn around and do such a heinous act either, as in murdering or killing, you know, that baby.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look through scripture, a lot of terrible things happened to people for God's glory.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I mean, it doesn't make you look at it and say, well, oh, well, you know, I mean, we're human. It's terrible that anyone is taken advantage of in any way, and especially, you know, a woman being raped. I mean, that is, I can't really even put into words what I'd want to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was the point, was, you know, how this child was created out of a terrible situation, but yet why is it accepted that you can just kill the kid?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it does go that way, like you're saying, like the woman does the right thing, has the child, and it's a constant reminder of the tragic, terrible event that she went through, and just can't have the child in her life. Well, what about the other side of that, where she goes through with the pregnancy, has the child, and becomes such a great mother and raises a beautiful child and teaches it things to be better than the man that caused his creation? You know, there's so many avenues that these roads can, or that these events can go down, but yet we look at, what do we do now? What can we do now to fix this? Right. You know, being pregnant is not something you fix. Preventing getting pregnant.
Right.
That, I mean, that's where it starts. Yep. You know, if you're not married, don't have sex.
That's, you know, Ben Shapiro, we brought him up before, but he makes an awesome point. To where, if you want to be in a, if you want to be in a middle class family, you know, when you're an adult, you graduate high school, you get married, and then you have children.
That order.
Well, I'm sorry. You graduate high school, you get a job, you get married, and then you have children.
Right.
How simple is that?
Yeah.
And here's what's crazy. Okay. This is what's going to be mind-blowing, so brace yourself. But that's the Word of God. I mean, that's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
These things, this order, you know, and that's just the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So something from a man who is extremely brilliant says something like this, and it completely lines up with, you know, the Christian faith. And mm-hmm. He's Jewish.
Yeah.
So we share the Old Testament, but, you know, it kind of stops from there. But anyway, I mean, it's something that people just like, and you know, he's gotten pretty much ripped apart for saying something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just true, but you
but
know,
it's okay when people are on television talking about, you know, they partied last night and ended up hooking up with so and so, and you know, oh, it was a good time, high five, and all that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not being a hypocrite on this, because at one time I lived this kind of life.
Right.
You know, I lived in sexual relations out of wedlock, you know, even in relationships, but I wasn't married.
Right.
You know, the one night stands, I was there.
Yep.
You know, but now being born again, you see it through the way that God wanted you to see it, that it is sin. you know, that you are wrong. So, you know, it's like looking at a couple that, well, not even a couple, just a man and a woman. You're going out, hitting the club, having a good time, partying all night. The man and the woman bump into each other and go home together. After that, they don't see each other for 3 to 4 weeks. Uh-oh, the woman has not. She's late.
Yep.
You know, and then, oh, I'm pregnant. Well, I mean, it was all fun and games until a child got put into the situation. But we got the easy fix.
Right.
Planned Parenthood, man.
Yep.
Let's go take care of this. I'll pay for it.
Yep.
You know, it'll be all water under the bridge.
Yep.
Sin, defying God all the way from beginning to end. Everything in that scenario, you defied God. And now you have to live the rest of your life knowing that you killed a human being.
Right.
But you're going to justify it to fit your needs.
Yeah, like you weren't ready. You couldn't raise that child. It was the best thing for that child. You can't say that because you're not God.
Yeah.
There's... In a situation like that, a scenario like that, it's just straight, you killed a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bottom line. And so we're saying all this, and I know it sounds like we're coming down upon it because we are, yet at the end of the day, man, here is the good news. That guilt that you are living with, that strain that seems to always be upon you because you did kill that baby. Look, you may not be able to forgive yourself, but there's hope. There's good news, and I can tell you about that good news in Christ, who died for that very sin that you committed, for that life you took. Christ died for that. You will not have to answer for it. And then there's no better news than that. Yet if we're afraid to talk about this very subject, this mass murdering machine that is taking place called abortion, and we're praising it and we're taking tax dollars to fund it, if we're not willing to discuss it as a church, then how are these folks going to be able to hear about this good news of the one who paid their sin debt on the cross, that they will not have to answer to God for killing his child that he's given to you? That's one of the reasons why, you know, and I'm thankful that you brought this topic up. And again, you know what? We got 3 or 4 people maybe listening. but hopefully it does, you know, it strikes a nerve with them to...
Just one.
Yeah. Not to... Look at that person. They know if they are a Christian, if the person listening to this is a Christian, to not look at that person who had an abortion as an abomination and they need to be damned to hell, but as a human being that needs to hear the gospel. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care who you are, unless God has truly just hardened your heart to a point to where there's nothing there, that person is struggling with this sin that they have committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the gospel and what they need to hear that's going to at least take the burden of having to answer for their sins off of their shoulders.
Absolutely.
So
one thing that I keep saying one thing and I just keep bringing up another thing, so I need to quit saying one thing.
I know what you mean.
Hey, this is one thing out of 20 things. we've mentioned different. Well, I've mentioned different little things from Jeff Durbin.
Yep.
Over a couple of episodes, and I'm bringing him up because, you know, he is a preacher, but not only that, he is a very big activist in the fight on abortion. He is going out to the abortion clinics, begging these women to not do it. He's standing up to the activists for Planned Parenthood and trying to change their minds. And he does it in a way where he's not fighting with these people. He's trying to get them to understand the Word of God. And now he will dispute everything they say.
Sure. Sure.
And if you don't mind, there's a 5-minute video that I'd like to, or, well, they'll hear it,
yeah.
The two people. But I want people that haven't looked into this, that haven't really thought about the weight of abortion and all that, just to get a taste of what's going on out there at these clinics, not only by Jeff Durbin, but by millions of people around the world that are standing up and trying to stop abortion. A matter of fact, there is only one Planned Parenthood clinic left in the state of Kentucky. And Jeff Durbin, he's been at protest in Kentucky, but there is a massive amount of Christians, men and women, within the state of Kentucky that have just shut them down,
yeah,
by God's grace.
Yeah.
You know, so do you mind if we play this video?
No,
I will say this. This is not to reflect on Jeff Durbin's church, his beliefs, any of that stuff. I mean, I don't really have anything bad to say about Jeff, but this is directly focused on his active part in fighting abortion.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make it clear that, you know, his beliefs and his actions and anything else, I'm not even bringing up. That's not the focus. The focus is the fight that he gives for these unborn children.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to play this so people can hear what's going on at these protests. You good with that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll let this roll for, like I said, it's about 5 minutes. We may not even make it all the way through it. Okay. We may start talking again. So, all right, here we go.
Across the nation that people have been protesting outside of Planned Parenthood clinics nationwide. We want this to be a gospel-centered ministry where it's the gospel that is going out, not simply saying be pro-life. We don't want to talk about simple issues like the health care of the mother and those sorts of things. We don't talk about the lives of these babies, the fact that this is murder, and it's only the gospel that's actually going to transform the hearts and lives of these people.
I remember where abortions were illegal, and they were done illegally, unsafely, and young women died.
And sure, died shouldn't murders take place in back alleys? Shouldn't murders be...
You're hijacking and changing the point of the issue. These are not murders because it's not an illegal thing.
But right now, why do you hold up the flag to cover the side?
Right, so with slavery.
Is there something you're ashamed of?
Legality does not
exist. Is there something you're trying to...
That's where a lot of murders do take place, yes, sir. They take place in back alleys and in dark rooms.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. So advocating for safe circumstances for murderers is not really a cogent argument, is it?
You're pulling the issue totally off track.
No, it's called a self-refutation, sir.
No.
You're refuting
you
yourself.
You know very well that prohibition did not stop alcohol manufacture, alcohol use.
Sir, what you're advocating for is to make safe and legal circumstances for thieves so that they don't injure themselves while they're robbing banks.
Come on, Mike. Get off of that.
Sir, address the argument.
The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one, none who does good, none who seeks for God. Destruction and misery are in their paths. You should know from us that we care for you, we love you, We're here out of concern for you, your souls.
What's wrong? Can you explain to me what's wrong with rape? Is it a violation of another person's body?
Body, mind, soul,
okay.
Everything.
So is it taking liberties with somebody's body that they ought not to take?
You are returned. It's not just the body. It's the soul. It's the privacy. It is the identity. You are trying
thank you.
To
and so, so thank point? You. Thank you for that excellent pro-life argument against murdering
no,
children.
It's not.
You are advocating for the murder of children and the destruction of human
children.
Life, all the while hanging on to an inconsistency calling
children.
Rape wrong. I say
children.
Go all the way. If you're going to advocate for the murder of helpless babies, then also advocate for the safety of rapists. And there is peace. There is forgiveness. God became man in the person of Christ. He lived a righteous and sinless life. He was not a murderer. He did not entertain murderous thoughts like you. He was perfect in every way. He died to take a death that we deserve. He was buried and he rose again so that all who would turn from sin and come to him in faith would receive the gift of eternal life. Your message is the antithesis of the gospel.
I agree with you that abortion is dreadful and awful.
Why?
And represents.
Why? Why?
Because it does.
Says who?
Kill an unborn baby.
Thank you. Planned Parenthood decapitates, disembowels, beheads 1,000 babies a day. God calls you to turn from your sin to Christ, where there is forgiveness, there is peace only in Christ. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God calls you to turn from your love of death to come to his Son, where there is forgiveness and peace. This stuff, this coming once a year during a big event to call out to Planned Parenthood doesn't shut Planned Parenthood down. It's consistency of action. It's a consistent message. That's the gospel. That's it. That's what's going to shut it down. It's not hodgepodge movements that happen throughout the year. It's not that. It's not talking about the health of the mother. It's not talking about the sanitary conditions of Planned Parenthood. It's calling it murder and calling them to repent of it. And it's standing outside here with the signs that expose what actually takes place. That's what we need to be doing. And today we did it. We shut this place down. So let's keep going.
All right. So that's just kind of an example of what some people are doing to try to fight. You know, and you know, watching this video or listening to it, you know, it might give you that little kick like, yeah, man, yeah. But look at yourself and then look at these Christians that go out and do this. I mean, that is a huge step into a spotlight that a lot of people don't want to get in,
yeah.
You know. But it's about a human life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll say this. I think that, you know, there are certain gifts that are given to each Christian individual. And so I want to be careful because I do think that what Jeff is doing is it's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing that he's going out there and preaching the gospel so that they can hear it. The one thing that I hope it doesn't come across as is that we're saying that every Christian has to be doing this.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, there are certain things that each Christian is called to do. And I know what some folks are saying. Well, Britt, how is it that you can't? I mean, how can you say that, you know, God's not calling every Christian to do this? Well, if he was calling every Christian to do this, then every Christian would be doing it. So, again, you know, it's a gift. It's a talent that God has given certain individuals to do, and I'm so grateful that these individuals are doing what it was that God called them to do. Now, this is probably something that more of us who have this calling and this gift should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what it is what Christ called his disciples to do, to go out into the world and make more disciples. Because one of the things that I do agree with Jeff on is what's going to stop this is the gospel. However, not to be a Debbie Downer here, the one thing that I think for the most part, a lot of things that Jeff Durbin, you know, preaches and teaches is spot on. Yet I so disagree with his eschatology and that being his end times viewpoint that I think that kind of bleeds over into the gospel that he preaches sometimes. Do I think that abortion, would I love for abortion to be ended? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to? No, I don't. And I know where Durbin kind of has this viewpoint of the gospel is going to end up taking over the world before Christ is, you know, ushered back in. And yet, in my understanding of Scripture, the world is going to continue to get worse.
Right.
You know, there's going to be like peaks and valleys to where you're going to see an influx of Christianity spreading. And then there's going to be times to where you see, you know, Christians having to go underground. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be these peaks and valleys. I do not see it the way that Durbin does, in the sense of Christianity is going to take over everything and it's going to be this kind of utopia of a world to where, you know, my understanding of the Scripture is going to continue to get worse. However, in saying all that, I think what is taking place and what he's doing in this video is admirable. And why I think it's admirable is not that he's going out there and yelling for them to stop killing babies. It's that he's going out there and preaching the word.
Absolutely. And I've watched a lot of the videos on YouTube, and not just his, you know. But I will say that the ones that I've seen where he is out there protesting, it's always scripture.
Yeah.
And you noticed his demeanor just in that video when he was talking to, they were kind of an older couple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wasn't like yelling at them like, you're going to hell, repent.
Right.
It's asking them a question and then debunk it with scripture. Yep. You know, and one of the things that they said in the video was, you know, the Planned Parenthood couple, they were like, well, you know, he was like, is this morally wrong? And they're like, no. And he says, why? Because it's legal. Legal by what law?
Yeah, slavery.
Man's law. Yeah,
slavery was legal for a period of time, too.
So so it was morally okay, right, back then,
yeah, you know.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to toot his horn or anything, but I do hold a high respect for him.
Sure.
And his, it's not him alone. It's many Christians that have formed together, just focused on abortions. Yep. And I think that the organization that he founded for abortion, I think that they've actually saved about 100 babies altogether now from the beginning.
You cannot argue against that. That's tremendous.
And the thing is even he says it, he didn't save these babies.
Yep.
God did.
That's right.
This was God's mercy and God's grace. He was just there.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to soteriology and the understanding of salvation, you know, we line up with Durbin.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing when it comes to, you know, the, trying to stop abortion, I think it's wonderful.
Right.
I cannot disagree with that. And you know, again, him going out there and preaching the gospel to the people that need to hear it is tremendous. So kudos to him on that, man.
Yeah. You feeling good about this one, buddy?
As much as I can about this topic.
Right. No. What I mean, really, what I was saying is, Is there anything else that you would like to say on it?
No, I think one of the things that I want to say is if you go to carm.org, I got a lot of information from them and discussed it on here tonight, but carm.org, you know, he has done such a tremendous job, a gentleman by the name of Matt Slick, in putting this website together. And now I believe you can donate to this site, but it is tremendous in the sense of, again, the amount of information that he's gathered together. And just about anything you can think of, it's on here. And I believe it's a Christian Apologetics Resource Ministry, Research Ministry, Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. But go in there and check it out. So yeah, there's a lot of great topics, and just about anything you think of, it's on there. So kudos to him for throwing that in there.
Cool. All right, well, ladies, if there's one of you listening, please, 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 if you get pregnant, don't kill that baby.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. You can reach us through sonicreformation@gmail.com. And just to let you know, if one of the two people are listening tonight, if you do have a question, we would love to answer it on the show, and we will do our research for you and everything. So please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, guys, have a great one.
Yep. See y'all.